The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Good day, tokers and tokens, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, December 19th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here on 420radio.org and also on Shoutcast. You can find us on Shoutcast. Just search for 420radio.org for your Shoutcast connection, whatever player you might be using to connect with Shoutcast. We're also on TuneIn.com, the TuneIn radio player and TuneIn app available for your smartphone. All right, on today's show, well, last night we covered a live event. It was the Great St. Louis Marijuana Legalization Debate between John Payne from Show Me Cannabis. That's the group that's trying to get marijuana legalized in Missouri through a constitutional amendment. And Sergeant Jason Grellner, he's the vice president of the National Narcotics Officers Association. And those two debated, about 200-300 people showed up. The local news media covered it. We streamed it live thanks to some of the volunteers there at showmecannabis.com. And while we don't have the recording of it, and to be honest, it was kind of a bad recording, not much with video, and it kind of went in and out as the stream connected and disconnected. But I live tweeted the entire event last night, and today we've got a special extended Radical Rant. I'm going to take the whole last half hour of this show and go off on this Sergeant Grellner. It's like a greatest hits package of Reefer Madness, and we're going to debunk as much of it as we can in a half hour coming up here on the Russ Belville Show. Also on today's show, we are going to go behind the headlines and take a look at Bernard Goetz. You remember Bernie Goetz, the guy who shot four teenagers in the subway in New York City back in 1984. Well, he got busted for selling weed, and I'm going to tell you all about it and why it's just sad that our police forces are being used to set people up to bust them for small-time weed dealing. We're going to take a look at that in Behind the Headlines. Also, in our 420 radio news, one of the headlines in the news, very sad for me, the Club Frankie's up there in Olympia, Washington, that allows pot smoking on its top floor, as well as beer drinking and liquor drinking and cigarette smoking, may not be able to do so anymore. We've got a new ruling from the Washington State Liquor Control Board to tell you about in the news. Also, for Daily Toker Tunes, it's Groovin' Thursday. Bago Schwago won't be joining us live, but he did send us in a tune. We'll bring that to you at the 20 after break. All that is coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 19th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Michigan House approves important medical marijuana legislation from Huffington Post. The Michigan House of Representatives voted to advance two important pieces of medical marijuana legislation that will move to the Senate's chambers to be further scrutinized during the 2014 legislative session. Representative Mike Calton is sponsoring House Bill 4271, which would permit the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries or provisioning centers, but only if individual municipalities decide to allow them to operate within their county. Last February, the Michigan Supreme Court had ruled to authorize county prosecutors to shut them down as a public nuisance. In July of this year, the Michigan Court of Appeals ruled that pot brownies are not a usable form of marijuana under the state's medical law. House Bill 5104, pushed by Representative Eileen Cowell, would give patients the ability to choose the delivery method that works best for their afflictions, referencing vaporization, tinctures, topical creams, and edibles. Colorado lowers medical marijuana patient fee to $15, from the Denver Post. Medical marijuana patient fees will be dramatically lowered to $15 annually beginning early next year, the State Board of Health decided Wednesday. In a 7-to-1 vote, the board lowered the $35 fee patients pay by 57% to $15. The change is mainly because of the fact that the registry's state fund has made more than enough money to cover its administrative costs, said Mark Sally, spokesman for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. In fact, there is an excess of $13 million. The $35 fee was slashed down from $90 in 2011. When the program started after voter approval in 2000, the annual fee was $140. The registry is not supposed to make money. Just cover administrative costs. Liquor Control Board bans pot from Washington bars, from the Olympian. The State Liquor Control Board on Wednesday adopted a rule change that makes it illegal for any liquor-licensed establishment to allow marijuana consumption of any kind on its premises. The rule change likely goes into effect 30 days from Wednesday's unanimous board vote. That means starting on or about January 17th, marijuana smokers can no longer light up on the second floor of Frankie's Sports Bar on Pacific Avenue in Olympia. All Washington bars except Frankie's currently prohibit smoking of any kind, but the owner won a prior legal battle to allow patrons to smoke cigarettes and other tobacco products in an upstairs room, provided that they pay a $10 annual due to become friends of Frankie's. The owner has said that the business at Frankie's is booming since he's allowed second floor marijuana smoking. His club has about 13,500 members, he said. He has spoken out about the Liquor Control Board rule change and said he will ignore it. The Liquor Control Board has stated the rule change was necessary to bring its rules into compliance with I-502, which prohibits the public consumption of marijuana in public view. Cheyenne, Wyoming debate looms over marijuana legalization in Wyoming, from ADN.com. A debate over whether Wyoming should legalize marijuana may be about to flare up. Representative Sue Wallace, a Republican, said this week that she intends to introduce a bill in the legislative session that starts early next year to decriminalize marijuana for medicinal purposes. Wallace said the death a year ago of her husband, Rod McQuarrie, brought the issue of legalizing medical marijuana into sharp focus for her. She said he benefited greatly from medicinal marijuana from Colorado in his last days. Christine Christian of Jackson, Wyoming, and a registered lobbyist for Normal, said Thursday that her group intends to submit final papers to the Secretary of State's office this week to begin the process of collecting signatures to bring a ballot issue on marijuana decriminalization to state voters in 2016. Wallace said she personally doesn't have a problem with legalizing marijuana for recreational use, but she won't push the issue in the coming session. Some believe legalized pot results in unwanted consequences, from CBS Local in Denver. Some believe that legalized pot is resulting in some unwanted consequences, like Thursday's home explosion in Longmont that happened when police said three men were trying to make hash. Police said three men were spraying butane into a jar of marijuana to make hash oil when it exploded. One man suffered burns to his hands and face when butane vapors ignited in his garage, which caused an explosion that blew out windows and brought neighbors running. Jim Gerhart with the Colorado Drug Investigators Association believes Colorado's laws are part of the problem. We're having multiple incidents in 1 year, he said. This is the consequence of legalizing this substance. End quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 19th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines in New York City and look at the pot bust of Bernie Goetz, the subway vigilante from 1984, and the idiocy of these pot stings. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. .org presents Free Weed with Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor of High Times magazine. Check out a new episode of Free Weed every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, with replays Thursday at 8 a.m., Friday at 1 a.m., Saturday at noon, and Sunday at 6 a.m. right here at 420radio.org. Welcome back, everyone. 14 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines, and we're going to talk about the bust of Bernie Goetz. And If you don't remember Bernie Getz, if you're younger out there, just don't remember the story. Back in 1984, Bernie Getz made national headlines when he felt like he was being threatened by four black youth who were asking him for $5, pulled out an unregistered, unlicensed handgun that he had on him and shot them. Ended up paralyzing one of the boys, and turned out one of the boys did have a screwdriver on him, which, you know, some people said could have been a weapon. But it opened up a lot of discussion about race and profiling, and he just felt dangerous because they were black kids and all of that. Got to understand, New York City was a much different place back then, too. The murder rate had peaked, you know, in the mid-80s there. It was just awful, just a lot of crime. Not like it is today, actually. New York City's actually become quite safe in comparison. But anyway, recently, Bernie Getz was busted in the park. I forget which park, Union Square Park in Manhattan, and was busted for selling weed. He was nabbed for selling $30 worth of weed to a female undercover officer. And he just went to his hearing, and the ABC News headline on this is Bernie Getz fights pot charge at bizarre hearing. And the bizarre part is they talk about how he had a rambling set of reasons that included becoming a vegetarian, feeling coerced into taking money from the undercover officer, and believing that police are too aggressive nowadays. He thought the arresting officer was trying to get him to punch him to escalate the case. He wore all black to the court appearance, other than a love animals, don't eat them pin. And said the arresting officer would not have been as aggressive if he were a vegetarian. So they're saying, okay, kooky Bernie Getz, he's like 64 or something now. Kooky Bernie Getz talking about his vegetarianism, blah, 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 blah. That's not what I think is the bizarre part of this. The bizarre part of this is that we're trying to set up 64-year-old guys in the park in the first place to bust them for these little weed deals. This is how it went down. This is let's see if I get, okay. So Bernie Getz said he was in the park November 1st feeding the squirrels when he met a woman, and the two talked about getting high together. So he went to his nearby home and got some marijuana. She said she had to go, he said. So he broke off a chunk of pot for her and said she could take it, he said. She insisted on paying him, he recalled. After the third time, she said, no, I'd rather pay for it, Getz said. And I said, okay. She gave him $40. He gave her back $10 and then was arrested, he said. So it sounds to me like we got a 64-year-old guy in the park, meets an attractive young woman who's talking to him and chatting him up. Well, that's a good day. Any day that starts like that's a pretty good day when you're, you know, getting to be 64 feeding pigeons in the park, I think. And then she starts talking about getting high. So, you know, hey, let's go back to my place and get high. Now, she doesn't want to go back to his place. Okay, you can understand that because, you know, it's just meeting people in the park. You know, you don't know what danger you're getting into. You could understand why she wouldn't want to go back. But, hey, I'll go back and get some weed for the two of us. We'll go back and then we'll smoke together here in the park or whatever, right? And then when she says she has to go, he breaks off a bud. Hey, well, all right, here, take a bud. No harm, no foul. Take a bud. You know, nice meeting you, right? But no, no, she has to insist on getting paid. No, no, I really should pay you for this. No, I should really pay you for that. Bernie, that's the hint right there. You just say, no, I don't sell weed. Sorry, I don't sell weed. You can have that. I don't want, and you walk away. You just walk away, man. Now, at that point, maybe the cops come out anyway and they bust you for possession. But the possession would be a much less charge than being busted here for sale, because in New York state, it's decriminalized. You can possess marijuana, and the worst they can do for you is a civil infraction, a ticket. Now, the fact that he brought it out in public display to break some off for her, that would be a little different. That's where they can get you busted, is when you got that public display. But then setting them up further to try to get some sales charge out of this, what exactly are we accomplishing? How much time did it take this female undercover and then the male officer who came later to bust Bernie Getz, and then all the processing time that it took over a $30 nug of weed? Do they think this eliminates people from smoking weed in the park or meeting and buying weed? No, all it does is it makes sure that all the delivery services in New York still function. Hey, Bernie, next time, Take one of those ads from the back of the paper and call a delivery service. You're a whole lot less likely to get yourself busted. All right, folks, it's 20 after, and that means it's time for us to take our union-mandated break. Cool Craig's in the studio, and he brought some lemon something. So we're going to break on that. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, that lemon's pretty good. Welcome back. It's just about 24 after the hour. Normally at this time, we'd be meeting with Bago Schwago calling in from Arizona to give us our Groovin' Thursday intro, but he's at his mom's birthday. Well, that's awfully nice of him, so good for you. Head to mom's birthday. We'll take care of things from here. We've got some great new music shows that will be debuting in our new January lineup here at 420 Radio. We're going to take the 2 weeks off here for the next 2 weeks, Christmas week, New Year's week. And during the Russ Belville show times, I'm going to be debuting kind of a preview debut, if you will, of the new Activism Hour show that I'm going to be putting on. You know, I was talking with Herb Thrasher and he said, dude, you got this archive of all of these medical cannabis cups you've been to for the past 3-4 years, cannabis cups you've been to, NORML conferences, Seattle Hemp Fest, not to mention all the videos that we've got from NORML, LEAP, SSDP, High Times, PATH Moms United. If they're an activism group, we'll put this video in there, and it's just going to be in the blender, and it'll just give you a random selection from you know, the past since about 2010, I think, from these different events that I've done. And you get to watch these videos in the new Activism Hour. So that's what we're going to play during the replay times of the Russ Belville Show over the next couple of weeks while we're on break. But then once we start up in January, we've got the new lineup. Activism Hour will be a part of that. We got some other new shows, but I'm really happy about two new music shows that we'll be adding. Gordon Green's Music Planet. Our Ivy Wednesday music editor, Gordon Green, out there in Spain, is going to mix us together some world music, and that's going to really expand our horizons. And then Electric Bob's got a show he's putting together, title yet to be determined. And this is going to be kind of a new electronic music, dance experimental sort of thing. So really excited about that. We'll check out that new lineup. It'll be up at 420radio.org. I've already filled in some of the blanks there, and we'll get this programmed over the next couple of weeks. Also, the audio players, we're trying to get some Shoutcast audio players. They're not coded up yet, so that's why they're missing those. And I hope you like that we put the video back up on the front page. All right, here's our Groovin' Thursday. This is Codeine with Blown.
I get high, I can touch the sky. I'm in love with Mary Jane.
I get so blown, blown. Just call my phone, I can take you with me.
I get so blown, blown. My eyes turn red every time it hits me. I'm high without a doubt, I got caught in mine. And I'm zoning out, baby. I'm high without a doubt, I got caught in mine.
Wake up and spark a fat blunt and get blown. Mary Jane calling my name repeatedly, just like Mike Jones. Go BB smoking, I'm stinky icky. I won't touch that dirt, I'm not a stinky picket. I won't go low class, not no more. And even though I'm broken poor, I'm smoking Joe. Yeah, I'ma get this money. During the process, I stay blunted. Puffing with lace, yeah, what it do, fam? He be stomping on them dudes, I'ma call them Shoeman, ayy. I heard crystals on top of Mary Jane, even if they're gay. I love them bitches anyway. They got a high THC level. They put me in a good mood, it's whatever.
I get so blown, blown. Just call my phone.
For shrooms, I'ma go on a trip. I'ma pack my bags on a hustling tip. I'm speeding like Rick Ross in a trap. Pass a bomb, pass a blunt, pass whatever you got. I gotta get high so I can go to the top. Yeah, what you heard about me? I'm codeine, aka Mr. Lean. I be rolling up them trees. Every time I take a hit, my stress is relieved. I don't need no Tylenol, no grease, just give me weed. And I'ma chop it up and lose my headache. Even if they're gay, I love them bitches anyway. Yeah, crystals on top of Mary Jane. Even if they're gay, I love them bitches anyway. Give me the THC, I love them anyway. Give me the THC, I love them anyway. Give me the THC, I love them anyway. I love them anyway, I love them anyway.
I get so blown, blown. Just call my phone, I can take you with me.
I get so blown, blown. My
what makes something funny?
How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
420radio.org presents Professionals Against Prohibition with Jen Jackson from Raleigh, North Carolina, debuting every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, with replays Friday at 7 a.m., Sundays at 10 p.m., and Mondays at 1 a.m. Pacific, right.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Last night in St. Louis, John Payne of Show Me Cannabis, that's the group attempting to legalize marijuana in Missouri with a constitutional amendment, debated Sergeant Jason Grellner, the vice president of the National Narcotics Officers Coalition. I thought it was association. Whatever. The debate was moderated by Mandy Murphy, the news anchor at Fox 2 News in St. Louis. Murphy opened up the debate by respectfully reminding everyone to be respectful and respect the opinions of both respectable sides respectfully. Well, at least that's the condensed version. Numerous times she said respect when she had her intro, and it was basically trying to forestall any boos or catcalls. We live streamed it last night on 420 Radio, and thanks to some volunteers from Show Me Cannabis, it was kind of a choppy feed and, you know, how cell networks are, but we captured most of the event. John Payne opened up with a rapid-fire delivery of the facts about cannabis and how prohibition has failed to achieve even its own stated goals. And you hear us talk about that here on the Russ Belville Show all the time, so we're not going to go back over John Payne. I thought it would be fun to take a look at the reefer madness of Sergeant Jason Grellner. It's just basically a top 10 list of all the prohibitionist nonsense you've ever heard, all wrapped into one with a couple of extra surprises. Now, I live tweeted this last night while it was on, so it's almost like taking notes in 140 characters or less. I'll give you some of my live tweets and some of my thoughts as it was going on. My first tweet from the debate was, "Cops not 1 minute in before Woodstock weed rears its ugly head in St. Louis." Woodstock weed is the shorthand for their talking point that today's marijuana is so much more potent than the marijuana our parents smoked at Woodstock. And that always makes me wonder, if that weed was so benign, can we just legalize that? Can we start with the Woodstock weed? Legalize the 4% weed? Would that be okay? Because apparently that if you're so worried about potency, why would you let criminals control the market and allow the product to be unlabeled and provide incentive to make it more potent? If you're worried about potency, you should be for legalization. Cops attributing drop from 1974 to 1992 in drug use to Reagan's Just Say No. This cop was amazing. He was actually saying prohibition works. And yes, the 1980s, right. I lived through that. And actually, arrests for marijuana annually declined throughout the Reagan-Bush years. But arrests for all other drugs skyrocketed as crack cocaine made its way into America, ecstasy was first becoming popular, and meth began taking hold in middle America. Just Say No, indeed. 7:19 p.m. Cop says marijuana legalization won't reduce cop time to work on real crime because they'd be enforcing new pot laws. This was the weirdest thing I'd heard from the whole night. He was basically trying to shoot down John Payne's point that we spend all this time and money on prosecuting pot and sending cops out to go after pot, that if we legalize, then those cops could go after the rapists and the murderers and the thieves and the criminals, right? And he says, no, that won't work because then there'll be all these new regulations and then we'll have to enforce all these pot regulations. He even said something to the point of, you don't really think all those people who've been breaking the laws on marijuana are suddenly going to follow the law when it's legal? Well, yeah, I do. Because then their mere act of buying, selling, and possessing weed won't be a crime anymore. And as for the enforcement thing, when you see a cop working overtime to card kids for beer at the local convenience store, that's when that argument starts to make a little sense. Jeez. 7:21 p.m. Cop says cartels will want marijuana legalization, but big tobacco will get involved, but price will drop, so no tax money. Now, it's always a tough road to hoe for these guys when they have to talk about marijuana economics. The pot can't make a whole lot of money because then taking it away from the cartels makes a lot of sense. But if it makes no money, the price is so low that everyone will smoke it and we'll get none of that promised tax revenue. But if it makes some money, the taxes will make it too expensive and the criminals will undercut it in the black market. But that can't possibly be smaller a market than what the criminals have now, because then legalizing pot would make sense. But if it's too large of a market, big tobacco swoops in and makes money from it, which is somehow worse than torturing terrorist Mexican cartels and 1 million high school teenage dealers making money from it. 7:22 p.m. Cop says prohibition does work. And if we legalize marijuana, why, in 30 to 40 years, we'll be debating legalizing another drug. It's rare you get a cop so dense to actually say prohibition does work, but this one does. Now, we got more on that in a few minutes, but I'm still on this slippery slope where we legalize marijuana and it's so mind-altering that suddenly a majority of American voters will want to see retail markets for heroin. That's some good weed. Now, will legalizing pot make Americans realize regulation beats prohibition? Yeah, probably. But legal drugs is a spectrum that runs from caffeine to morphine. I'm pretty sure we'll keep the cocaine, meth, and heroin closer to the morphine side of the scale. 7:24 p.m., cop says people commit crimes because of the disease of addiction, so we need more rehab. Ah. Oh. I love it when cops get all mushy with their empathy for the addicted. Oh, I'm the son of an alcoholic, and I'm struggling to remember when those cops picked up my dad for possession of beer and forced him into a mandatory rehab for alcoholism. Hold on. Nope, not coming to me. 7:26 p.m., cops' logic. Prohibition works because look how many more people die from legal drugs. Okay, wrap your mind around this. Mr. Spock just threw up in his mouth a little at this logical fallacy. This cop actually thinks that it's the legality of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription drugs that kills people. His actual argument is that prohibition means fewer people use deadly drugs, so there are fewer deaths than from the legal drugs, therefore prohibition works. How this applies to the legalization of a non-toxic herb that's never caused a fatal overdose, now that's beyond my capacity to understand. Now, by this point, the opening statements have concluded, and the two debaters get to cross-examine each other, and John Payne opens it up with the question. This is from my tweet, 7:27 p.m. Question, why arrest people with the disease of addiction? Cop, because if we don't, so few will go to finish and rehab. it's for their own good, you see. Sergeant Grellner went on to explain the statistics of how few people who use drugs actually make it through to complete rehab and quit drugs. Well, yes, because most people who use drugs are not addicted to drugs. But to Grellner, the mere fact that it is illegal and you used it when you told not to use it means you committed a crime for which you must pay. They aren't really concerned much with the harm aspect. To them, the disobeying of authority is the harm itself. 7:30 p.m. Question. Would you return to alcohol prohibition? Cop. No, because so many more people drink. They never have a good answer for this question. If prohibition of marijuana is the great solution that keeps people off marijuana, why don't we return to alcohol prohibition? And they'll duck and weave and stammer and give you some pablum about culture and history and so many people who drink. And what they're really admitting is that it's a culture war they believe they can win if the enemy are few enough in number. 7:32 p.m. Question, if prohibition works, why do so many more people smoke pot? Cop. This was a great zinger by John Payne to note how few pot smokers there were at the beginning of the 1900s. And as we prohibited pot more and more, we ended up with it being the third most popular drug with 19 million users. 7:33 p.m. Cop question. This is the cop turning the tables. Now he gets a chance to ask. Cop question. How do you propose keeping it out of kids' hands? John Payne. Like we do alcohol and tobacco. Audience laugh. Grellner pressed Payne for how legalization could possibly keep pot out of kids' hands, as if no one who's proposed legalization has suggested anything. This was the first moment this respectful audience loosened up enough to laugh at the sergeant's reefer madness. 7:35 p.m. Cop on more kids can get alcohol than pot. But fallacy, because no data on kids getting alcohol under prohibition. This was when Grellner cited study data, and it's probably the CASA data, on how many more kids say they can get alcohol than marijuana. And this is true, but it's not because the kids are buying it from dealers. They're stealing it from stores or parents or getting an adult to buy it for them. Payne counters by pointing out that's a function of bad parenting. I would have brought up that we're comparing prohibited pot to legal alcohol without knowing whether prohibiting alcohol again would reduce youth alcohol access or not, right? This apple and oranges comparison. They're saying, oh, well, alcohol's legal, so many more kids can get alcohol. Well, how do you know? How many kids could get alcohol when it was prohibited? Did that go up or down? It's a meaningless stat. 7:36 p.m. Cop question. Kids see less harm in pot and they'll use more. John Payne, if so, then why do kids see more harm in legal tobacco and use less of it? I enjoyed watching the cop walk into the legality equals less harm equals more use trap, and I doubly enjoyed watching John Payne spring it. Tobacco is the most addictive drug, and it's available to some high school seniors legally, 18 in some states, right? Yet its use has plummeted to all-time lows, and kids see great harm in using it. Making it legal is not what tells kids whether or not it's harmful. It's whether or not it's harmful is what tells kids whether or not it's harmful. Then we get to finish up 7:45 p.m., about halfway through the debate. The cop executing the Sabbat conjecture. Alcohol plus tobacco taxes don't cover alcohol plus tobacco costs. Well, duh, those are toxic and addictive. When prohibitionists try to discount legalization, they try to poke holes in legalization's promises. They attack the tax revenue angle by saying that alcohol and tobacco taxes only cover 1/10 of their cost to society. This is true. The problem is that alcohol and tobacco are toxic and addictive, not that they're legal and taxed. And whatever cost exists for marijuana is being paid now and covered by zero tax. Let's legalize marijuana and at least get some tax. And I bet we'll find, since it's non-toxic and less addictive, we'll see far lower costs than alcohol and tobacco. and probably enough to be covered by the tax, and then some. That Canadian study showed that in Canada, the healthcare costs of a single pot smoker over the span of 1 year was $20. Do you think we can get $20 worth of taxes out of a toker in a year? Hell, you can get that out of me in a week. Stay tuned. The second half of this epic rant is coming up.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You know, I've been playing rock and roll for a lot of years. I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
I think we're back, man.
Take a little trip. Take a little
Welcome trip. Back, everybody. We are take continuing this radical rant. If you joined us late, we are halfway through the Great St. Louis Marijuana Legalization Debate. I live tweeted the event as we streamed it here on 420 Radio, and it was between John Payne from Show Me Cannabis Regulation, they're trying to get marijuana legalized, and Sergeant Jason Grellner, and we're focusing on Sergeant Jason Grellner. I live tweeted the event, so it's almost like taking notes throughout the event, and the event started at 7 o'clock Central Time. We're up to 7:47 p.m. Central Time. When the cop says, regulated drugs kill way more people than illegal drugs. Now, this is again him continuing, Sergeant Grellner continuing with this, legal drugs are more dangerous because more people die from them. Well, more people use them. That's his argument. If you legalize something, more people are going to use it. Therefore, more people are going to die from it. Which, again, makes no sense when we're talking about marijuana, something people can't die from. But I guess we're just stuck. I mean, why not make alcohol, tobacco, and OxyContin illegal? If keeping the drugs illegal is what keeps people from dying, we are doing a disservice to this country by not making alcohol, tobacco, and OxyContin illegal. Well, I guess we're just stuck with the most dangerous drugs being legal and the safer ones being criminal, I guess. 7:51 p.m. Question. 60% of 12th graders see no harm in regular pot use. Cop. The smoked medical marijuana falsehood led teens to believe it's good and okay. And that was his actual term, the smoked medical marijuana falsehood. And he tries to defend it by bringing up AMA this and scientific study that. But let's not quibble about the smoked medical marijuana falsehood when there are numerous studies pointing to the medical benefits of smoked medical marijuana. But, you know, more than medical marijuana, the internet led teens to believe regular marijuana use isn't dangerous because they could look up the facts for themselves. The problem now is prohibitionists have cried wolf so many times on marijuana's dangers that the actual problems for heavy adolescent use won't be believed for a while. 7:53 p.m., cop trots out debunked 8 IQ point drop and schizophrenia links and more likely to be addicted. Yes, yes, when the prohibitionists get desperate, they always turn to WOTC. What about the children? Grellner uses this well-debunked marijuana causes a permanent 8-point drop in IQ for heavy adolescent use study without noting that in that same study, they found that for light use, the kids were a bit smarter. But never mind, because really what they found is that economics, poverty, education, a lot of things have to do with the development of IQ in children. And this study was debunked about the minute it came out. But no, they're hanging on to it. Regardless, even let's say that it was right. Suppose that were true. Suppose heavy adolescent use of marijuana causes a permanent 8-point drop in IQ. Why would you endorse a system that guarantees kids will know another kid who deals weed at school? That system's not working. This is the problem with any prohibitionist argument that tries to claim that marijuana is terribly harmful is, oh my God, well, if it is terribly harmful, why are we letting criminals run that market? We found that the most harmful drugs, alcohol and tobacco, were best regulated, not prohibited. 7:53 p.m., the cop says he's heard no new tools to reduce use. He was kind of grilling John Payne, you know, you legalization people, you policy people, we never hear you mentioning any tools we'll use, you know. And John Payne says they'll be regulatory, not criminal. This is the thing, you know, there's a saying that if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. For this cop, he just can't conceive that the mere use of cannabis could be something other than a crime. To suppose that we'd just allow use and not be vigilant about reducing use sounds to him like just allowing rape or allowing murder. 7:54 p.m., cop goes full circle saying, kids will perceive pot from store clerk as safer than from a dealer. John Payne says, you put that well, because it is. This point made me and the audience actually laugh out loud. Grellner was trying to build a scary argument that if kids knew that pot was something that was sold at a store, they'd perceive it as being less dangerous than some drug they had to buy from a street dealer. Well, yeah, because that would be safer. It's the prohibition that causes the dealer to be the scary dude. 7:56 p.m. Cop. Never seen TV from inner city where folks want legalization. They want dealers off the streets. Wait for it. This came at the end of the cop talking about how he works the streets and how he sees the devastation of drugs. Payne explained how he lived in a not so nice part of St. Louis, you know, code for poor and minority, and can get a drug on any corner. The cop responds with his tales of TV crews in inner cities interviewing residents who want crime and drug dealers off their streets. They don't talk about wanting legalization. Okay, well, Sergeant Grellner, how well has 40 years of prohibition worked for East St. Louis there? Not very well. Has it gotten all the dealers off the street yet? Here's a clue. How many tequila dealers do you have to roust off the streets of East St. Louis? Oh, yeah, zero. 8:02 p.m., cop giving Sabbath's average medical marijuana user, white male, 29-year-old, no condition criminal history canard. Okay, at this point, the debate had strayed a bit into medical marijuana, so Grellner brought up the old California card Kevin Sabet likes to play, that one study that explained how an average medical marijuana patient is a 29-year-old white male. I don't know why that makes a difference, but 29-year-old white male with a criminal history and no severe medical history. Okay, well, since the average pot smoker overall is 25 years old, doesn't that make medical marijuana users older? And didn't you want fewer kids using? And could that criminal history have anything to do with using marijuana before it was medical and maybe they got caught? And could it be that people with severe ailments who've been using marijuana to treat it have never had that documented by a doctor because they don't feel so comfortable about talking about how they're using an illegal drug to take care of their pain? Jeez. All right. 8.07 p.m. Question. Why not prohibit alcohol since it is more harmful? Cop. I don't agree it's more harmful. Can't go back already out of the gate. An audience member asks why, if prohibition works so well, why not use it again for alcohol since it's objectively more harmful? And the cop actually disagreed that alcohol was objectively more harmful than marijuana without really quantifying why he thought that. And then he returns to that whole the horse has already left the gate excuse. Gosh, we'd prohibit alcohol if we could, but dang it, it's just too late. If only we could go back in time 5-10,000 years and prohibit alcohol then, doggone it. So, 8.09 p.m., John Payne, 19 million use cannabis. Isn't that out of the gate? Cop, how many use alcohol? So it's a popularity contest. Grellner really seems to think that if we prohibited alcohol again, fewer people would drink it, but darn it, it's just so popular we could never do it. It's nice to see the acknowledgement that marijuana prohibition has nothing to do with harm. It's just a popularity contest. 8.09 p.m. Cop. So if they can't sell weed, they'll sell meth, cocaine, heroin. To who? You can't manufacture demand. This is their legalization won't end crime argument, which essentially means since cartels will keep committing other crimes, we should let them run the marijuana market. A corollary of this argument is that cartels deprived of marijuana customers would just sell meth, cocaine, and heroin. To who? There are 19 million cannabis users and 350,000 heroin users. You can't invent a demand where little exists. 8.12 p.m. Life without parole appropriate for a marijuana case? Cop, we don't know factors around the case. Dodge, dodge, dodge. And this question had to do with a very high-profile case in Missouri where a man busted long ago on a nonviolent marijuana trafficking charge is still serving life without parole in Missouri. Sergeant Grellner would not answer directly, chiding the marijuana activists who, you weren't there, you weren't on the jury, you don't know all the facts from a case, oh, it was so long ago, you don't know. 8.13 p.m., John Payne, the newspaper printed it, here it is. Cop, yeah, but that's just convictions. You don't know arrests and pleas out. John Payne actually pulled out the local newspaper that had the story on the guy serving life without parole that detailed all the facts about the case. And Grellner went on a tangent about how, well, there's only one felony conviction for every 20 felony arrests because people plea out and blah, 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 trying to make some point that this guy deserved life without parole for marijuana because he must have been a bad guy. Must have been a terrible guy there. You don't know, maybe there were some other arrests that he was never prosecuted for. It must have been a bad guy. And to wrap things up here. Cop, 8.14 p.m. We're not incarcerating people for having weed in their pocket. Well, this always begs the question, if having weed in your pocket's not something you're feeling the need to lock people up for, why bother arresting them in the first place? It's also untrue, because everyone arrested for weed has spent at least an hour in a holding cell, and if they couldn't bail out, maybe a few days. And that was followed up with the cop, 8.15 p.m., only 0.1% of prisoners are in prison for weed possession. John Payne, an injustice is still an injustice. Audience applauds. You can get this whole rundown in all my live tweets from this at National Cannabis Coalition. Go to ncc420.com. It's on the front page right now. For everyone here at 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is next live. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you manage, you're growing, you're giant.